mercy of the Lord. Glad to have you with us on this, the first day of February. And with that, a longer broadcast day for the AM, 7:15 in the morning till 6:15 at night. And so finally, I don't have to chase that sign off during the middle of our program. So we're glad for that. So anyway, we're glad for you to being with us, and we're grateful to the Lord. We are, we have had the interesting first part of the week. I know that Sunday there were churches that didn't have church because of flu. And of course, you know, that had never happened prior to COVID. Well, now, I guess because our immune systems are compromised, we have whole churches that are not, you know, are not able to have service, are not having service. And so for that reason, we are, you know, I understand that. I understand very much what is going on. And let me just do a quick thing here. Control room, I lost camera on you. Can you tell me, is that on purpose or accidental, or am I still up? Okay. All right. So just as long as, okay, we're good. All right. I'm in Studio C, so I'm in remote studio today. And so I wanted to make sure that we were still good. Okay. So, I said all that to say this, we have got many of our families at Anchor that at least one person is sick. And so we are going to go ahead and have service tonight. It was kind of a 50-50 whether or not we were going to, but we had some things going on before and after service. We decided to go ahead and have service, but I want to urge our people that exercise caution and use good common sense. And if you want to stay home tonight and do virtual, that's fine. I'll be at the church. I didn't do Bible college last night because I felt so bad when I got off the air that I did a home study night for Bible college. But I got up today. I went to bed last night sick, but I got to feeling better today, so I'm not running a fever, so I don't think I'm contagious. So we don't know. But anyway, right now there are three main viruses that are rolling. We have COVID, whatever the latest one is. And if somebody tells you that there's nothing to it, they haven't had it. It's mean. Okay. It's not deadly mean like it was when it started, you know, almost 3 years ago, but it's still mean by any measure. Okay. And that's with shots. I can tell you firsthand, it's mean. Okay. And then the second thing that is really getting people is the type A flu. And something that I don't think I've ever heard of this. People's body temperature going extremely high and then going extremely low to the point that they can't get warm. I'm talking about 9 degree temperature drop or 9 degree differential. 104 point something down to 95 and couldn't get them warm. So, and they looked it up and said, yeah, it's a symptom of the flu that you cannot maintain your body temperature. So, that's weird. So we got COVID, we got type A flu, and it is really rolling. And then there's also strep, and it's pretty bad. I've not heard of RSV that I can think of. I don't think I've heard of that one in the past few days. But doesn't mean it's not happening, okay? So a word to the wise, everything that you learned during COVID, all of those protocols, you know, the mask, the hand washing, all the things that you learned and all of us, it was drilled into us over and over and over and over and over and over and over to the point we all got sick of it. Well, all of those things work against the flu as well. They work against viruses in general. So, you know, and nowadays it's not a big deal to walk into a bank with a mask on. You know, that used to be a federal offense. It no longer is. And so, you know, if you are at risk and you, you know, feel like you need to do that, then certainly. Also want to mention, we have a bunch of PPE, personal protective equipment. We have the gowns, the disposable gowns, we have hand sanitizer, and we have masks in large quantities at the warehouse, and they're free to anybody that would like them. Okay. So yeah, well, I think we got hand sanitizer sitting outside today, actually. So whatever you do, don't buy it. No, just no, don't buy it. We're, yeah, we've got it. So, yeah, just so you know. Okay. All right. Let me change gears here if we can. And, so we are having, we are having service tonight for those that want to come. If you don't, that's fine. We will be having, you know, all of our regular, you know, all of our regular avenues. Okay. I'm getting, and I've got several things coming in here to me right quick. We're hearing, I've just had somebody verifying that said a documented inpatient temperature spiked to 110 degrees, which is, I didn't think you could survive with that high fever, and dropped to 96. That's, I mean, that's dramatic, isn't it? Yeah, for sure. Okay. All right. So let me change gears and let me say, again, appreciate you being with us here this afternoon. Let's quickly look at traffic. There was a wreck earlier in, well, I'll tell you where it's at exactly. It is not far from Glenbridge Road, where Glenbridge Road comes into 25. So Glenbridge comes into 25. So it's right there in, I guess that's in Arden, right? Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. And so it's got traffic both directions. There's some issues right there. Not far from the 25A, 25 split, just to the north of there. And it's got traffic backed up in both directions. Everything else is moving. So we don't seem to have any other issues this afternoon that I can see. Everybody else is doing well. The interstates are fine. Even downtown Asheville is pretty good today. Not too much problem. And so everything else that I'm looking at, there was a slowdown earlier in the gorge over at the construction, but it's not as bad as it usually is. So that even that seems to be okay. As we drop off to Greenville, better day than normal. I can't explain why, but it is a better day than normal. Your normal slowdowns on 85 in the construction zone. Outside of that, everything seems to be okay. There's a crash on 146 right outside of 385, just to the east of 385. There's a crash right there near that Walmart Supercenter. There's a crash right there that's causing a little bit of traffic hiccups. And there's also one over in Powdersville on 153. And let's see, there's one in Travelers Rest on 25. It's up on what they would call the, just right near the bypass there near right past State Park Road. Yeah, on 25. Doesn't seem to be affecting travel too bad though. All right, let's take a quick look at the radar picture. And we are seeing rain moving into the area, and thankfully it is rain. The temperatures have moderated somewhat. That's not exactly right. They have hailed. So that line that we talked about yesterday has hailed. And I'll just give you a for instance. So in Crossville, Tennessee right now, it's 32 degrees. But in Knoxville, Tennessee, it is 42 degrees. So there's 10 degrees between Crossville and Knoxville. And the 10 degrees makes a big difference when it's freezing rain, and it is. So there's been a major ice storm in the western part of Tennessee, and there's been some ice accumulations up the 81 corridor, just to the west of 81, and from Chattanooga, a line there, back up through toward Bristol. That would be the line to the west of that. And then up in Kentucky, they've gotten quite a bit of ice. Matter of fact, we've got listeners up there right now saying that it's icy and their temperatures are on the lesser side of freezing. So they're already below freezing in much of Kentucky. And it is for our area. We've got kind of a cutoff warm weather. We're kind of in the transition area. We're in the 40s, but down below us, unreal. Anderson, South Carolina, right now showing 65 degrees. So you know how far it is from Anderson to Knoxville. So 65 to 43 in Knoxville. And then if we go to Nashville, or just north of Nashville, 28. So yeah, big spread. And even Chattanooga is at 37 and maybe 37 degrees. But in Athens, Georgia, it's 63 degrees. So you can see where that line is drawn. And of course, frozen precipitation falling everywhere below temperature. And there are not as many watches and warnings that I saw yesterday, but still some. And then back behind this, there's also down into the south of Memphis. Memphis is going to get some snow. It's coming up out of the Texarkana area. And so snow heading toward Memphis and probably going to track up into Nashville as a part of this. One of the few times that it's snowing in northern Texas, big ice storm in Dallas. But because of the way the pattern is flowing, it's missing us. Yeah, it's going northeast. And so this will actually, believe it or not, it will impact New England eventually. All its precipitation will track up into New England. And New England has got some of the coldest temperatures they've seen in since 2016. Yeah, we're talking about current temperature right now in Greenville, Maine. The current is 12. That's currently. Yeah. And so if you get on down a little further south, I was trying to look here at another temperature. Trying to get Portsmouth, 26. That's current. So, of course, anything falling in the big cities and north of there, it's going to be cold. It's going to be snow. It's going to be frozen. I was trying to look at some reports of what they've gotten out of this storm. They're getting freezing rain still in a lot of the areas and freezing on trees and things like that. Here's one out of Shreveport, Louisiana. They've got almost a half inch. Or no, take that back. About a quarter of an inch of ice in trees and about 4/10 of an inch of ice on the ground. So, yeah, and again, is going just above us, and we're not mad about that at all. Tonight, 30% chance of rain, and that chance increases to 60% with a cold rain, about 40 degrees. For tomorrow, a 90% chance of rain tomorrow, and it's going to be a cold day, 46 is as warm as it's going to get, and there's going to be a little bit of a northwest wind, which is going to make it feel even a little colder. About a 10th of an inch tonight, and then between a quarter and a half inch tomorrow. And then showers in the morning on Thursday, and there's a little bit of a chance that afternoon, but mostly Thursday night. And this is one to watch. I said that. That's not true. Let me back up. So showers before 1 a.m. and then between 1 a.m. and 4 a.m. And the low temperature will probably be right around daylight, but we're looking at 30 degrees. So we'll watch that one. And as much a half inch on Thursday night. So we could have some freezing on Friday morning in the bridges and overpasses. So we'll keep an eye on that. Also some pretty stout wind gusting as high as 24 mile an hour. Well, it's a good thing we don't have any. It's not colder than it is because we'd have trees down. If you had an ice layer on the trees, you really would have a mess with winds gusting that high. For Friday, a breezy, gusty day, only 38 for the high, and it'd clear out. And then 19 for Friday night, 44 Saturday in sunshine, 27 Saturday night, 56 Sunday. So winter's over. We're back into the 50s and 40s next week. So go figure. I know. It'll go 2 or 3 days of kind of winter, and then it'll go back to spring and fall, whatever we're in. Yeah, that's interesting how it's been doing. It's a hard year. It's been a very difficult year for forecasters. I can tell you that they've had a tough time with this one. It's kind of not typical. So, all right. Well, the first day of the month of February, the listeners portion of the operating budget today. of the general operating budget is sponsored by Marie Ramoth, and it's in honor of Pastor Kevin Smith and his wife, Natera. Their anniversary is today, and she's very thankful for them. And we appreciate, and I'm assuming that this comes, that Marie attends the church in Fairbanks. Brother Kevin is the pastor of the missionary church there. I would say, I think that's right. And so, but I don't know for sure. I'm guessing. And so happy congratulations to Kevin and Natara today on their anniversary. And then the network today, sponsored by Doug Pace and loving memory of his wife, Thelma, who went home to be with the Lord on January the 19th, 2013. And he said she loved WGCR. And of course, we loved her. And we appreciate her memory today. God bless you. Well, as we pray toward Share-a-thon, we're just 25 days away, and pray that the sound staff, pray for all the sound staff that they will, as they do all of the mixing and everything for the broadcast, it'll all go according to plan, okay? Happy birthday today to Cameron Newman. Congratulations. Also, happy birthday to Pastor Eddie Connard, a staff here at WGCR, as well as a part, the pastor of the Crossroads Baptist Church in Zirconia. And we appreciate Brother Connard. I tell you, you won't beat Brother Connard, his spirit. He's got the sweet, sweet spirit. Appreciate and love him a great deal. All right. Let me say again, thank you for being with us and thank the Lord for his blessing. Let's see who and all's with us today. We've got Hazel Green, Alabama, Costa Mesa and El Monte, California, Resaca, Nicholson and Augusta, Georgia, Indianapolis, Ann Arbor, and Manchester, Michigan, Plymouth, Minnesota, St. Louis, Missouri, Grassy Creek, Morrisville, Silva, Brevard, Weaverville, Ennis, Hendersonville. Also, we've got Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. We also have, then somebody adds something to it, it goes away, and I have to find it again. Rock Hill, Fort Mill, Johnson City, Houston, a lot of unknown in the U.S., and also have Europe and the United Kingdom that we can that we know about. Kentucky is in there, and from Icy, Kentucky. And it's good to have Mary and Gary, and let's see who else. Several other folks that are with us. Harold, good to see you down in Texas. And so appreciate you being with us. And, yeah. So let's go to the text line here. Let me just share a couple of things with you. Well, let me add Toledo to the listeners and also South Park, Pennsylvania. Add those folks. All right. So let me get caught up here on my text line and tell you that somebody says, I have the people that are having the temperature drop had any of the COVID shots. I don't know if that's a question or not. I don't know. And the answer is, the ones I know about, the answer is no. The temperature drops, no, they are not vaccinated. The ones that I know about, but that I'm just saying the ones I know about, okay? And, there's several things now about repeated vaccinations. And so a lot of doctors now, it was the big push was everybody get vaccinated as often as you can. And there are doctors now who are saying, well, that may not be necessary. So, yeah, I'm not going to get into the vax and the unvax argument. Not going to get into that. But just saying that it's split now. It's not as united as it once was, to put it that way. Also, someone sharing with me, 1817, says a granddaughter was diagnosed with strep today in the third grade. Yeah. We were talking about the temperature here, and then in West Union, South Carolina, 64 degrees. 38 in San Antonio, and had ice, snow, and freezing rain in the morning, according to Harold. Thank you for letting us know that. And then 1353 said, I'm so very grateful for WGCR. Said, I prayed for years for a radio station that was biblically sound. Praise the Lord for you. And we say, amen. Thank you for that. God bless you. 35 years, and we started 36 yesterday. So, Yeah, to God be the glory. All right. Well, we're glad to welcome our team listening in Puerto Rico. Okay, we've got our loadout team is in Puerto Rico today, and they have finished loading out our ship, the Sea Hope. And so they flew down on Monday after some problems, delayed with the airplane and something wrong with the plane. And so had to offload and reload and all this other stuff. Finally got there, but the loadout went well. And so Sea Hope is getting ready to, it's getting close to ready to sail here shortly. And so it is a hospital load going to Haiti. And so pray for the crew. None of our FEX folks that we sent down will be sailing on this trip. They'll be flying back tomorrow is the plan right now. And so, yeah. But appreciate the crew. They've actually got to spend a little time at Old San Juan this afternoon, and so we're glad they got to do that. And, yeah, we appreciate them very much, the crew that took their time to go down and load the ship out. That's a blessing. Somebody's asking a question about, and I'm talking to one of our medical advisors who is part of, who is in the medical profession. And so she heard me ask about had the people who could not maintain their temperature, that had the extreme low temperature, had they had vaccinations? And the answer has come back, no. No, they were not vaccinated. The three that said she's taken care of in the inpatient, they were not vaccinated. And their temperature varied dramatically, but they were actually getting low temperature as a result of the flu, as a result of being sick. So, you know, I feel like I'm, you know, I don't know that I've ever taken my temperature when I feel like I'm in a bath of ice water. You know, when you get the flu, sometimes you feel, you know, it's so cold, you can't get warm no matter what. So, but you typically don't take it then. You take it when you're burning up. But I never have tried to take it to see if that was a, I don't know, I just never have tried to take it when I was shivering, because you just assume that it's not, you know. So, anyway, but, all right, 577-1296. Couple of things I want to share with you. Tonight is church night, and so I've got to turn around here. And on the first day that we can have the full broadcast, I'm going to have to cut it short. So my apologies. I apologize for that. I want to bring you up to date on a couple of things, okay? So let me start out with the feds have approved another rate hike. I was waiting on that word, and but it is the smallest one since March. So basically what that means is that they have, what they're saying is that it's still an issue, but it's not a bad issue as it was. Okay, so that's what they're saying. So the Federal Reserve today unanimously approved a quarter point interest rate hike Wednesday, and it showed the pace of its increase is near a clear sign that the central bank is seeing progress in the fierce battle with inflation. And so this is the first meeting of 2023, and of course there had been large rate increases to the tune of 0.75%. And that just went up, up, up. And so today I'm glad to see it. And here's why. I'm looking on the screen that I'm looking on. I'm looking at a LendingTree mortgage. Okay, LendingTree mortgage. And they are offering right now on a $225,000 loan, which is not that big a house anymore, a 5-year ARM, which is an adjustable rate mortgage, at 6.3%. That's to get an adjustable rate one, 6.3. So, yeah, that's expensive. And that's expensive. This is an ad that was before today's rate increase. But a 30-year fix was 5.75. Well, a 0.25% will take it to 6 automatically, but probably above that. So I said, well, what does that matter? It don't matter anything if you're not trying to borrow money. If you're trying to borrow money, you're talking about hundreds added to your payment. Okay. So when you're, for these people who are trying to buy houses, you're talking about a huge amount. Let me just do one. Okay. And I can run a what if scenario for you. And so if we're going to do $300,000 on a, let me back up here. I got it in the wrong place. So let me try it again. So if we're going to run $300,000, is that right? $300,000. Yeah. For 30 years at 5.75, the payment on that is $1,750.72 per month. You're paying $917 in interest. The total interest on that loan is now more than you borrowed. If you made all 360 payments, you would pay back the $300,000 plus $330,000 in interest. Yeah. So it's costing you double what you would finance a house for. So do you understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking about a huge difference. As far as the payment is concerned, it does cause the payment to go up, but it's not as bad as you might think. If you have a 5%, your payment is $1,610. But if you change that to 6%, it goes up $1,798 is your new amount. So 1 point equals over $200 a month on a $300,000 mortgage. So yeah, it affects everybody, I promise you. At least everybody that's borrowing money. So say it that way. It affects everybody that's borrowing money. I'm interested today. The Dow responded positive to today because, okay, it's a sign that interest that inflation's coming under control. If they'd gone another 0.75%, probably the market would have been down. The fact that it was only 0.25%, good news. So the market up today, 6.92 points, which is about 0.02%. The S&P was also in the black today, positive by 42.61, and then the NASDAQ was up by 231. And not all the indices were up, but several of the ones in the United States, the Russell and the S&P composite, there's several ones that were up today. Something else that I wanted to mention and share with you that I think this is very interesting. I'm looking at federal bond rates, okay, treasuries. If you do a 30-year treasury, now, what is the normal philosophy? Okay, the longer you invest your money, the more money you make, right? The longer you commit, the more money you make. That's traditional philosophy, right? That's traditional wisdom. Not right now. Nope. You will make less money in a 30-year treasury. It's only paying 3.56 compared to a 3-month treasury that's paying 4.54. So that's inverted. I mean, that's backwards. And so what does that tell you? Well, it tells you that, there's that the confidence factor is fairly low. Something else I was looking at today, there was a time back in the fall that the United States dollar actually was worth more than the euro. We hit parity and then it dropped below the dollar. We got down to 98 cents on the euro versus a dollar on the US dollar. That has changed course. And now today it was almost $1.10 for the euro of our dollars. So you go to Europe, you cash your money in, you want 1,000 euro, it's going to cost you $1,100 for 1,000 euro. Great Britain, similar situation. They dropped dramatically lower than they are. Today, if you want to go to England and you want to, or any of the British Isles, and you want to switch money into British pound sterling, You're going to give them, you want 1,000 pound. It's going to cost you $1,237.50. Yeah. Now, one of the things you can do, if you are near the Canadian border, things in Canada are cheap right now for Americans, because when you go into Canada, our money is worth a great deal more than the Canadian dollar. If you went to McDonald's there in New Brunswick and you were to punch in, your bill was $10, and you pull out, instead of pulling out Canadian, you pull out American, your bill would only be somewhere around $7. That's how much difference there is in the currency right now. So yeah, about $1.33 today is what it cost to buy. I mean, a Canadian dollar is, so figure it the other way around. For the Canadians to buy an American dollar, it cost them $1.33. Yeah. A couple of other things right quick that we're talking about inflation and things coming down. The price of oil dropped today, about 2.75% down to $76.70 for West Texas sweet crude. The natural gas, this is the big headline, and this has happened over the past 3 weeks. Natural gas was at all-time records in the past 6 months, and so much of America relies on natural gas. Well, that has taken a nosedive. Yeah, it fell almost 7% today. And so today's market on natural gas is $2.50 per therm, per million BTUs, which is kind of back in line with what it used to be. So that's a big plus. If you're looking at gold, gold's up $21.50 on the day. A 1 ounce of gold, 24 karat gold, will cost you $1,966.80 today. Yep, today. And corn, $680 per hundredweight. Yeah, roughly 68 cents a pound. So, and that's when you buy it by the ton. So, the price, of course, it's in all the feeds. It's corn is in gasohol, and the, you know, all of our gas has alcohol in it. So all this stuff, you know, it's just higher and higher and higher. It's amazing. All right. Let me change gears here. And I want to share a couple of other things with you before we get too far out here this afternoon. Since we're talking about the economy, we're talking about things, I don't get what's going on. In the past 2 years, and why is it always fire? And I'm talking about agricultural things. Across America, feed places, fertilizer places, barns, hatcheries, you name it, have caught on fire. They're all catching on fire. What's up with that? Well, another one has just happened. This was over the weekend. Yeah, it was Saturday afternoon. Roughly 100,000 chickens may have died in a massive fire at Basra, Connecticut. And a bunch of fire departments came to that in Connecticut, and took about 20 fire companies to fight it. There was a laying house that was 150 feet wide and 400 feet long. It caught fire. They said that it was considered well involved. They believe 100,000 chickens died in that fire. Those chickens average one egg a day each, but because of the way they turn the lights on and off, they actually can get more than the average is more than one a day. And so just saying. So what's going on? Well, the price of eggs just went up. take another 100,000 eggs a day or more off the market. And there's no quick fix to that. You've got to hatch. You got to collect 100,000 eggs. You got to set them. You got to hatch them. And you're going to have to wait months before you put those chickens back. Okay. So I'm just saying that this whole thing of eggs and chicken products, my wife was telling me she bought just a can of chicken broth to go in something she was making. And it's usually $1.99. And so, I mean, I don't understand what this is about. But I think I can, let me give you my thoughts on it. But it's not just anything to do with food. And it always is based around animals. You notice that? I'm wondering if it's the left and it's the animal rights, the leftist animal rights outfit that are, you know, that's where this is coming from. I don't know. The FBI is not saying anything. No one else is saying anything. But I'm just saying, why? What's going on? What's going on? If you have that many fires at anything, well, let's say that you had that many school buildings burned down in a year, there would be a federal investigation as to who's burning down the school buildings. But fertilizer plants and all these processing plants and all these other things that all would deal in animal protein, animal products from dairy farms on, are burning up and nobody's saying a word. And they're coming up with all these different causes. Well, call me skeptical, okay? Just call me skeptical. So anyway, yeah. I'm not exactly buying it. And I hate to be that way, but I'm just telling you, I'm not exactly buying the whole, well, it's just a coincidence. Well, you know, there might be a coincidence here yonder about, but I don't think you're going to get this many back to back. It just doesn't seem, feasible to me. And so since we're on these ideas, since we're on this whole train of thought, of course, you're familiar. I would say you're familiar that the United States dollar is the world's reserve currency. Well, that started after the end of World War II because we demanded payment in gold for all the armament that we sold to arm the Allies. It left us in a very strong position with gold backing our paper money at the end of World War II. So there was a meeting held, I believe the year was 47, and the developing countries decided, okay, we're going to base everything on the dollar. And so they did. Well, with the onset of the, you know, importing hydrocarbon product from the Middle East and all oil, when it's quoted, no matter where you're quoting it at, if you're quoting it in Saudi Arabia, it's quoted in dollars. If you're quoting in Britain, it's quoted in dollars. If you're quoting in Texas, it's quoted in dollars. Oil is quoted in dollars. But that may be changing. There are several economic people who are saying that, that there's nothing to it. But the issue is that Saudi Arabia in particular is looking to change this up. Okay. So, there's been a, you know, there's been, a great deal of things going on in Saudi Arabia. And, as a result of that, there's some situations that we may not be pricing oil especially Middle Eastern oil, in dollars anymore. And with that happening, then there's a very real possibility that we could, you know, that things could change. And when it did, and here's the problem. Somebody said, well, it don't bother me. What our money's worth overseas doesn't bother me. Well, it does when about everything we get comes from over there. Yeah. Yeah, when it does, when we don't hardly make anything here anymore. Try to buy a television made in America. It's not going to happen. There's not one made in America. So I said, well, I know of American brand. Yeah, but it's not made here. Made in China or India or wherever. So those sorts of things, you know, this is what we're talking about. And so, you know, if the Saudis were to, you know, go to digital currency, which is what the talk is, that they would drop the dollar and it would be, they would move to a digital currency like, you know, there's a bunch of them, but the different currencies, then there could be some real problems. So, you know, the biggest thing that we face is the International Monetary Fund is looking, I mean, very seriously right now at developing a International Monetary Fund currency that's all digital. It'd never be printed, never be anything like that. And it would become the single global digital currency. It's, you know, it's not been named yet, but I can tell you this, it is under development. And so, by the way, prior to 1947, all oil was done in British pounds, back of that. But after World War II, it switched to the dollar. Well, we've had it for a long time. But I would say to you that with a lot of these other things, the issues at hand of all the digital currencies, the things that really concern me about it is that, number one, they can monitor and control everything you buy, everything that you sell, everything that you spend. And whether it is Bitcoin, whether it is the Litecoin, Ether, I don't even know all of them. I don't know enough about it hardly to talk about. I have to talk to my grandsons, get them to explain it to me. But there are a number of them. And of course, there is, you know, for all these different coins, all these different virtual coins, there is no actual money and it's all just transferred. And if that were to take place, that could greatly hinder the United States and would greatly mess with us as far as our value of our dollar. And by the way, the United States is experiencing with their own digital. The digital dollar, they are. And it's not something that is just, you know, something that's prophecies made out of. No. In fact, I'm scrolling through right now to see if I can see it. I read it not too long ago, and I don't see it right off, but I read it just I think last week one day, that there is a move. Federal Reserve is experimenting through one of the banks with a digital dollar to see how it flies. Here's my issue with that. This has already been implemented in Venezuela. In Venezuela, they can control what you buy with the money that they give you. So in other words, it's not good for certain items. I mean, it is conceptual that if you work for Coca-Cola and you got your paycheck in digital money, but your paycheck come from Coca-Cola, that they could put a stipulation on your currency that you couldn't buy Pepsi products with it. So I said, well, that's dumb. Well, I'm just saying that just like food stamps, the card, the food stamp card. Now, there's certain things you can buy with it, certain things you can't buy with it. So everybody just, now they just put everything on the counter together and they check it all out. Then they swipe their debit card, their, what's it called? It's called a Snap card. You scan your Snap card and it won't let you buy cigarettes and beer and it won't let you buy, you know, detergent. So then they say, okay. And so you swipe that card and then they'll say, okay, that'll be $7.53. And so then you pay that out of your cash. So can they control what you buy? They're already doing it. If you have a Snap card, sure. There's qualified products, unqualified products. Well, what I'm saying is that that could be done. I mean, who's to stop this administration from saying, hey, you can't buy supersized fries at McDonald's. Of course, that was Michelle Obama's kick, wasn't it? America's too fat. Well, let me explain something to you. As free people, I think we have the right to get supersized fries if we want to. Don't you agree with that? I do. And I don't think it's the government's business whether I eat supersized fries or don't eat supersized fries. But the left disagrees with that because they say, well, you know, you're a part of the whole, and because it's going to cost to clean your arteries out one of these days, and it's going to cost, health care, and it's going to cause insurance to go up, and for that reason, you're hurting all of us. So they're going to force us into certain behavioral patterns. Well, let me ask you this. What if they say, okay, you can't tithe with digital currency? How many churches do you know of that are set up to accept digital currency? Yeah. And I know. Not many. Well, the point I'm trying to make is that what if the government says, well, you can give to this church because they're politically correct, but you can't give to that church because they're not. And if there's no cash being traded and all you get paid is in digital, what's that do? Yeah. So I'm talking about a complete control of the money. Seems like I've read something about that. Yep. Seems like I read about it. Where was it at? Let me think. I know where it's at. Book of Revelation. And then a mention over in the book of Daniel, talking about the last days, that the man of sin would control, you couldn't buy or sell. Remember that? Yeah. And I'm being very serious. And I'll say it this way. It's a whole lot closer, it being implemented, than you might think. Somebody said, well, I'm going to get me a bunch of cash and put it away. For what? If it's no good and you can't use it anywhere, what good's it going to be? As a matter of fact, you might be trying to get to the bank as quick as you can to turn it all in before they declare it to be no longer valid tender. Yeah. Legal tender, for it's no longer legal tender. Just saying. And even if you do that, if you withdraw or you deposit more than $10,000 in a close period of time, they file it with the federal government. That's not I can read it to you. You want me to read it to you? I got the statement from the Federal Reserve. I can read it to you. And if they catch you structuring, you do 5,000 a day and 5,000 tomorrow and 5,000 the next day, and they catch you doing that, that's punishable by imprisonment. Take a big amount of money, take a large amount of money to the bank and try to deposit it. Did you know they charge you to put a large amount of cash in the bank now? I'm serious. It costs. They will charge you. I used to think it was a good thing to have money in the bank. But now it's a, So what's going to happen, preacher? Well, I'm hoping we're going to get out of here for long. Yep, I'm hoping the Lord's coming and that we'll be out of this mess. And friend, if you don't have that blessed assurance that you'll be one of the ones that hear the call, hear the voice of the shepherd when he calls his sheep. And friend, your best bet's not to be laying up ammunition and MREs. Your best bet's to lay on your face before God, call upon him in mercy and ask him to forgive you your sins. and be your Savior and reserve your place with the redeemed when we are called up. Be with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray for those that are listening to the sound of my voice that, Lord, they may have made professions, they may have had confirmation, they may have done communion, they may have been baptized. And yet, Lord, in their heart of hearts, they're not 100% sure of where they're going to spend eternity. Lord, if we're trusting in anything other than the shed blood of Christ on Calvary, not the church, not any of the ordinances of the church, not especially not on good works. But Lord, if we're trusting on anything short of confessing that we're sinners in need of Savior, then Lord, we've missed it. And so, Lord, I pray you'd speak to some heart and save them today by your grace. Help us, Lord, to be found faithful. May your will be done. We plead the blood and ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. Thank you so much for being on board. I'm Pastor Randy Barton. Until we meet again, whether on the air or in the air, may God richly bless you, is our prayer.